20th chapter of Genesis. Genesis chapter 20. Hey, 3 months ago we were finishing up 19. Working right along. We're moving, boy. I tell you what, we're moving. Why don't we stand and responsively read about verses 1 through 11. If you have a King James, read along with us. If you don't have a King James, don't read out loud. All right. Chapter 20 of Genesis. And Abraham journeyed from thence toward the south country, and dwelled between Kadesh and Shur, and sojourned in Gerar.
And Abraham said of Sarah his wife, she is my sister, and the mother of the king of Gerar, said,
But God came to Abimelech in a dream by night, and said to him, Behold, thou art but a dead man, for the woman which thou hast taken, for she is a man's wife. Said he not unto me, She is my sister? And she herself said, He is my brother. In the integrity of my heart and innocency of my hands have I done this.
And God said unto him in the dream, Yea, I know that thou hast this in the integrity of my heart, for I also withheld thee from sinning against thee. Therefore sanctify thee not to touch her.
Now therefore restore the man his wife. For he is a prophet, and he shall pray for thee, and thou shalt live. And if thou restore not, know thou that thou shalt surely die, thou and all that are thine.
Therefore Abimelech rose early in the morning, and called all their servants, and told all these things in their ears, and the men were sore afraid.
Then Abimelech called Abraham, and said unto him, What hast thou done unto me? And what have I offended thee? But thou hast brought on me and on my kingdom a great sin. Thou hast done deeds unto me that ought not to be done.
And Abraham,
and Abraham said, Because I thought, Surely the fear of God is not in this place, and they will slay me for my wife's sake. Let's pray. Father, you have been merciful to us. You have blessed us in so many ways, and we give you thanks. We thank you most of all for the salvation in Jesus Christ and for this great book you've given us. We thank you for the Word of God. Give me a freedom and ease to speak that only you can give, and bless every heart that listens. I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Thinking about this portion of Genesis, such a blessing to me. There's several verses in there that are just almost what people call life verses for me. One of them is when he is talking to Sarah, and Sarah is doubting how she's already an old woman, how she could have a child. And the angel asks, Is anything too hard for the Lord? Now that's a verse. That's a verse you can apply in just so many areas of your life. You get sick, is anything too hard for the Lord? You get broke, is anything too hard for the Lord? Troubles rise up, war rises up, is anything too hard for the Lord? That is a verse that just goes across boundaries and all sorts of things. I've used it all of my life. There's another one, and it's one when I went through a real serious challenge of faith. It's 1825, very last part of it, shall not the judge of all the earth do right?
Yeah, amen.
I was in a battle over good and evil, and if you want to prove that God is evil, you got plenty of examples all across the earth. You just got plenty of them. the plagues, the wars, the killing of children, and white slavery, all kinds of things. Man, you got a lot of wicked things, and you blame God for letting them happen. And then on the other side, if you want to prove that God's a good God, well, man, there's plenty of examples of that. The earth's still turning. God's faithful. You know why? The earth's still turning. All it has to do is stop, and you'll stop with it. When it stops turning, I guarantee you won't be living on this place. So there's so many good things, good people. Man, I have run onto some really good people in my life. They're people that just are not selfish. And they think of others and they do good for people. And there's bunches of them. And so there's lots of reasons you could say God is good. But it all comes down to a point of faith. Excuse me. It's what you believe. And I had to come to a point and say, what do I believe? Well, I believe, shall not the judge of all the earth do right? I was in the seminary at the time. And I remember I took that verse. I'd been burdened over it in my heart. And I looked the verse up again, and I just read it over and over and over again. And I said, what do I believe? Do I believe God's a bad guy, or do I believe God's a good guy? And I said, you know what? I'm going to be just like Abraham. Abraham come up with a thought. He said, shall not the judge of all the earth do right? And so I came to the place where it doesn't matter. And from that day to this, I go to this verse every once in a while. God's going to do right. Even if I can't see the right, if I don't ever get to see the result that it turns out right or that it's going to be better and good and whatever, in my mind, just like I have that this is the Word of God and absolutely true, I have a thought that says, God does right every time. Romans 8:28, God does right every time. And I'll tell you what, that'll help you in the tragedies of life. There, you're going to get some tragedies in life. You're going to get some things that you cannot understand. You're going to lose a baby. And you're not going to be able to understand why you lost your baby. Why would God do this to you? Well, I'll tell you how to survive it. The judge of all earth did right. You may not understand it, but you can believe it. The judge of all the earth did right. Amen. And so these are some of the verses, beautiful places. My grandmother Kincaid, who we lived with till I was 5 years old, on the farm up in Burnett County, Lampasas River, runs right through the middle of the farm. She was a really strong Methodist when old Methodists were strong. Now, you may not understand that, but this country was evangelized by Methodist evangelists. This country was evangelized. These were go-getters, boy. And they believed the book, and they didn't throw doubt on it. It's these newer Methodists that have come along, thrown doubt on the book, and taught all the mess they taught in their seminaries. But my grandma Kincaid sort of took over raising me, in a sense. And she told me Bible story after Bible story after Bible story. That's what she told me. That's what I was raised on. You know, I think it must have done some good. Somewhere in the back of my mind, I think that old lady helped me out a whole lot that I didn't even know about. And you know, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in Daniel, the story of the three guys in the fiery furnace, you know how she taught that to me? Shadrach, Meshach, and under the bed we go. I still remember that. At any rate, let's look at chapter 20. And Abraham journeyed from thence toward the south country and dwelt between Kadesh and Shur and sojourned in Gerar. And Abraham said of Sarah his wife, she is my sister. And Abimelech, king of Gerar, sent and took Sarah. I have no doubt Sarah was an unusual woman. Unusually beautiful. Probably that's why she caught Abraham's eye in the house. She was such a beautiful girl. And so he decided to make her his wife. I have a problem. I know that Abraham's a brave man. You know he's a brave man. He takes his 318 soldiers and goes after five kings. And he brings them all back. And you got to be a pretty tough guy if you're going to have 318 soldiers trained in your own group. This guy's rich. He's a great, big, wealthy, rich man. And he's got 318 of his servants, his slaves, that are soldiers, trained soldiers, that he can go out and fight with. Who is going to protect his riches? They say he has lots of gold and silver and all the cattle and whatever. Who's going to protect him? Is the county sheriff going to help him out? Well, let me ask you, when does the county sheriff get to your place? After you've been robbed. After you've been shot. It's not before. They're not protection. They are vengeance after the fact. They can get them and catch them and put them away, and that's great. But they can't keep you from getting hurt. They're not enough of them. They don't have enough of them to go around. So this man, to keep his silver and his gold and his people and all of his flocks, has to protect them himself. And so he does. He has his own army. And he protects them. And so she is his sister, half-sister. It was a sister by his father with another woman, other than his mother. And so she is his half-sister. Now, he says, when we go places, you do a favor for me. You tell people you're my sister, not my wife. Because it's really telling the truth. It's actually lying. See, when you tell something like that to deceive somebody, that's a lie, no matter how much was true in the original statement. Yes, she is his sister. Yes, you could say that. That's true. But she's also his wife. And he does this for fear. And it bothers me a little bit. Some of the failures, some of the sins of Abraham do bother me. Here's this great man of faith. And yet, here's what I know. I can't judge him rightly. You know why? I don't know his situation. We don't live like they lived. We're not under the same strain they're under. We don't have to protect ourselves like he did. We're not in their type of situation. We're in a completely different situation. And so some of the things I'm going to read about today do really give me a problem with the men that did them. And yet I know I am not judging from a real understanding of what they lived with, because I can't. Now, she is my sister. He said, I want you to do this because they're going to look at you, and she's got to be 60 years old or better. They're going to look at you and want to kill me for you. That's a good-looking woman. I haven't seen anybody I wanted to kill to get their wife, have you? No, I was pretty happy with the one I had. But the thought of it is, I'm afraid that you are so special that somebody's going to say, I want her for a wife, and they're going to kill me. And so he uses this as an excuse to start with this. She is my sister. But this is a really bad thing. He doesn't really realize what he's getting into. And in my thinking, it's just a real lack of faith to the man who is the father of faith. It's a real lack of faith to a man who got saved by faith back in the days of before the law. And for him to do this, it is a deception. And of course his son does it later, just like he did. And he does it several times. She is my sister. Now go back with me and let's go back and look in chapter 12. Chapter 12. Look at verse 1. The Lord said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country, from thy kindred, and from thy father's house, unto a land that I will show thee. I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee, and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. I will bless them that bless them, curse them that curseth thee, and in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. And he was 75 years old when he departed out of Haran. Look at verse 6. And Abram passed through the land into a place of Shechem under the plain of Moriah, and the Canaanite was then in the land. And the Lord appeared unto Abram and said, unto thy seed will I give this land, and there builded he an altar unto the Lord. Verse 10. And there was a famine in the land, and Abram went down into Egypt to sojourn there, for the famine was grievous in the land. And it came to pass, when he was come near to enter into Egypt, that he said unto Sarai his wife, behold, now I know that thou art a fair woman to look upon. He's 75, she's 65. Say, I pray thee, thou art my sister. Now he's going down to Egypt, and he said, I want you to remember, I want you to say, you are my sister, that it may be well with me for thy sake. And thy soul shall live, and my soul shall live because of thee. Verse 14, and it came to pass that when Abram was come into Egypt, the Egyptians beheld the woman, that she was very fair. The princes also of Pharaoh saw her, commended her before Pharaoh, and the woman was taken into Pharaoh's house. I don't know about you, but I'm a little bit too jealous to have done Verlene that way. And boy, I'll tell you, if I'd have done it, she'd have killed me when she got me back. She had a tough spirit, very strong. At any rate, she was jealous of me too. Can you imagine that? Handsome fellow like I am, you know, muscular, fit. She is my sister. I'm afraid they're going to kill me to get you. She is my sister. Right here, I think it's the first time that he does it. And the attendants to Pharaoh, they say, man, that's a good-looking woman. Boy, she's different. I don't know what she had. She might have had another eye sitting right up here that looked special or something. I don't know what she had. She had something, because he was drawn to her when she was a kid, and he marries her early, and then all these other kings. And I don't know whether it was like, sort of like Solomon, with all his wives, they were political gifts. They were like making a treaty with somebody. My daughter is married to Solomon, so Solomon's not going to attack my country. You see, things like this. So that's how he got all of his wives and got himself in trouble. But Abraham right here is doing the same sort of thing. And so Pharaoh, his servants have taken Sarai into his harem. Now, he could have called on her for sex anytime. She's in his harem. Now, that's almost like a temptation. This is the woman that's going to bear the heir. You don't want to mess up that seed. You don't want to mess up, put doubt as to who the father of the child is. Bringing her into that harem automatically raises the question, do they have sex? Did they have sex? Would they have sex? And they could have. Now, I don't know how many women he had in his harem at the time, probably plenty. And so he didn't get around to her yet. But at any rate, here is this problem with, she is my sister. And it's a real problem for me. It makes me hurt for Abraham, because he's one of my heroes. Abraham, wow. Wouldn't you like to be that, where God come down and visit you 4 or 5 times? I mean, God come down and come to your house and knock on your door. And God walk in and set in and let you wash his feet and give him a cup of coffee. If God would drink coffee, I don't know. You understand what I'm saying? That's the kind of man this is. This is a man, when God's going down to Sodom and Gomorrah, he says, you know, I think I ought to tell him, because he's going to command his children. They're going to do right. And he's been a great man of faith. God is bragging on this man. And here he is, treating his wife of 50 years, probably. Say, you're my sister, so it'll go well with me. It's just out of my thinking. At any rate, now he does the same thing back over here. Oh, by the way, God protected her at this time too. God protected her. The Pharaoh calls him in, sends him away, gives him gifts. I don't know, he was rich enough as he was, and he's getting richer by telling everybody that Sarah is his sister. Anyway, come on back to where we are, chapter 20. Now he goes down to Gerar, and the king of Gerar, Abimelech, and Abimelech is not his personal name like Lindell. It would be like Pharaoh. He might have a different personal name, but he is the Pharaoh of Egypt. Well, he's the Abimelech of the Philistine lands. That's what that is. So you can have two or three Abimelechs, and they're not exactly the same person in the Bible. So Abimelech takes her in, but he hadn't come near, verse 4. And so he said, Lord, wilt thou slay also a righteous nation? Said he not unto me, she is my sister? And she herself said, he is my brother. In the integrity of my heart and innocency of my hands have I done this. And God said in a dream, yea, I know that thou did this in the integrity of thy heart, and I also withheld thee from sinning against me. Therefore suffered I not to touch her. Now therefore restore the man his wife. Here he is. He's done it in Egypt before. He's doing it over here in the land of the Philistines with Abimelech, the king, in Gerar. And the king had a dream. And you know, God deals with some people in dreams. You ever had a dream scare you pretty bad? It'd be so real. And about some situation that you're dealing with. Well, God can scare you in a dream. God can use dreams. He can just use a casual remark of somebody walking by you to point you the right direction. Well, here's Gerar. He's went and got Sarah, brought her into his harem, and he's sleeping in the night, and he gets this dream. And he realizes she's the man's wife. And God threatens him like he didn't threaten Pharaoh. He said, you're but a dead man. You know what? You're messing with the mother of the heir. Think of all the plans, the rest of the Bible. Think of all the plans that would go wrong if you mess up with Sarah. Think of all the things that don't happen if Sarah gets messed up. So God told this old boy, so I'll tell you what you better do. You better restore the man his wife. And he calls all his people in, talks to them, and they're all scared. Well, hey, how would you like to know that this guy that come in, this stranger that come in, told me that this beautiful woman, or unusual woman at least, is his sister and is really his wife? What is he doing to me? And so he calls him. He calls Abraham. Why did you do this? Did you see his answer? Remember his answer? I thought the fear of God is not in this place. You ever been there? I've been to several places. And I thought the fear of God is not in this place. You don't get a straight shake of the dice in this place. This place will kill you. This place, they'll run you out. He said, why did you do me this way? You made me almost commit a grievous sin and get me on the wrong side of God. What did you see? What were you afraid of? Have you looked where you go? Have you thought about it? You know, there's some places that are worse than others. You know, you can just about bet your bottom dollar that percentage-wise, people who go out to the bars and the dance halls at nights and deal with drugs are going to have a bigger percentage of people being killed than those that go to church on Sunday night. It's just there. Look at the people that are there. Look what they're doing. They're on a high, and they want to get higher. And the longer they've been on it, the more they need to even just get high. And so they're rough and they're wild and they don't think. Have you noticed all the crooks that you read about? They don't, many of them, look down the ways. Not even a year. They're not even looking down to the next day sometimes. Sometimes you hear about these crooks, and so help me, they didn't think anything through. They just shoot somebody. How about driving down the road and just shooting into houses? Wow. Are you thinking? No, you're not thinking. I don't know what you're doing, but you're not thinking. You're not reasoning at all. You're not thinking about who I might hurt. You don't care. Doesn't matter to you. They don't think real well. Now, I know in the novels and the TV shows, and I like to see them too. I like to see smart crooks. I really do. They got this plan planned out real good, and I can look and see the workings of it. And I say, yeah, that's a good show. There aren't many of them. Bless your heart, most crooks are dumb as dirt. They don't think a day ahead. They don't think a week ahead. They don't think a year ahead. They don't think their child ahead. What's this going to do to my wife? What's this going to do to my son? What's this going to do to my future? What's it going to do to my health? How long will I live in jail? You might not live too long. You just might not. There's some rough boys in jail. And they don't have anything to do, but they're not getting out. They don't think ahead. So you better decide where you're going to go eat. That best steak at that bar might not be the best steak for you. You might be better off just to go to McDonald's or Whataburger and get you a hamburger. Oh, it might not taste quite as well as that $25 steak. But you might get to go home and go to bed that night. Sleep and wake up and kiss your wife in the morning. Send your kids off to school. Have a great day. Crooks are just pretty stupid. He said, I thought surely, verse 11, the fear of God is not in this place. They will slay me for my wife's sake. Yet indeed she is my sister. She is the daughter of my father, but not the daughter of my mother. And she became my wife. This is the kindness which thou wilt show unto me at every place whither we shall come. Say of me, he is my brother. And Abimelech took sheep and oxen and men servants and women servants and gave them. Here's Abraham getting richer and richer because of she is my sister. Oxen and men servants, women servants, gave them to Abraham and restored him Sarah his wife. And Abimelech said, behold, my land is before thee. Dwell where it pleases thee. And unto Sarah he said, behold, I have given thy brother 1,000 pieces of silver. Behold, he is to thee a covering of the eyes. Now, I'm not sure I understand this well, but it is a rebuke. It is a rebuke to Sarah and, of course, to Abraham. unto all that are with thee, and with all other, thus she was reproved. Abraham and Sarah got rebuked here. I don't know how much they got when they went out of Egypt, but they got a lot of things here. And yet, this fella is saying, you did me wrong. You hurt me. You did me wrong. And it's your bad people because of it. You think about that. Good people do bad things. Do you know that? I think most of you in here are probably pretty good people. But yet, we could examine you closely. You could tell us of the times when you have just been stupid and you did not do the right thing. Do things badly. So here is Abraham and Sarah, some of the greatest people in the history of mankind, rebuked. You reckon you deserve some rebukes today? I bet you do. I bet you every one of us in here could examine ourselves and just look at the last week. You don't have to go back any further than that. Look at the last week and you've said some things, did some things that you should not have done. You have put people by selfish thinking. You have put other people at risk. You put other people to where they have to overlook you. Abraham is one of my heroes. He is, I think salvation by faith is so absolutely great that there's nothing to compare to it. I really do. And here's the father of the faithful. But he lets me down. When he does what he did here, he let me down, and he deserved to be rebuked. He deserved to be embarrassed about how he acted with Sarah, his wife, before this king. He deserved to be embarrassed. And some of us deserve to be embarrassed because we have not acted with the righteous way that we ought to act. That's the truth. All right, let's just go to chapter 21. And the Lord visited Sarah as he had said, and the Lord did unto Sarah as he had spoken, for Sarah conceived and bare Abraham a son in his old age at the set time in which God had spoken to him. And Abraham called the name of his son that was born unto him, whom Sarah bare to him, Isaac. Is anything too hard for the Lord? Is anything too hard for the Lord? Can I take a 90-year-old woman and make her fertile? Make her husband's seed of a 100-year-old man produce a child? Well, he can. Throughout the Bible, it's true. I knew some people, they were older. They were not in their youth. They were thinking they're in their 50s. The woman thought that she was through bearing. And she had what she thought, and the doctor told her, was a tumor. But when they went into the hospital to operate on the tumor, they delivered a baby. You just never know. You just never know. Well, they were very proud, this older couple, you know, walking around with that beautiful new little child, you know. And I knew them personally. And they were in my daddy's church. At any rate, here's Sarah. She's 90. 90 years old. She conceives. She carries her baby 9 months. She delivers her child, and it's Isaac. Now, she didn't have 2 children or 3 children or 10 children or 12 children. She just had one. It says that they weaned him. I wonder how old he was when they weaned him. Oh, I think I went probably the average for my days. It was 18 months, I was told, before I was weaned. 18 months. Verlene was weaning him about 9 months. But at any rate, I have heard of boys coming in and asking for milk from mama at 7 years old. I knew a little boy that was already in school, and he had a nipple on a 7-Up bottle. He's already going to school, and he's not carrying a baby bottle. He's carrying a 7-Up bottle, but it's got a baby nipple on it. Wean them. If they're old enough to ask for it, they're too old to get it. Isn't that a good thought? If they get old enough to ask for it, then bless your heart, it's time to cut them off. Come on, mamas. But I don't know about Sarah. You know, she waited 90 years. She didn't have 15. She just had one. You talk about a mama's boy. Abraham didn't stand a chance with this one. No. I tell you, Sarah took care of Isaac. Isaac's her only son, her only number one son. Wow. He got everything he wanted. And boy, was mama proud of him. Anyway, Sarah conceived by Abraham a son, and she bare him Isaac. And Abraham circumcised his son Isaac, being 8 days old, as the Lord had commanded him. And Abraham was 100 years old when his son Isaac was born unto him. And Sarah said, God hath made me to laugh so that all that hear will laugh with me. And she said, who would have said that Abraham, that Sarah should have given children suck, for I have borne him a son in his old age, and the child grew and was weaned. Abraham made a great feast the same day that Isaac was weaned. I was with my girls yesterday, and I always have a ball when they're just a party ready to explode everywhere they go. And I had a real good time. And forgot what I was going to say. So we'll just forget that one and go on, okay? Look at verse 9. Now we already know what kind of mother Sarah is going to be. You can't blame her. You can't blame her for being a real possessive, brag on your own. I mean, this is a special child. This is a child that's really a type of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's a miraculous birth, not a virgin birth, but a miraculous birth nonetheless. And boy, she's having fun. You think of all of the sorrow she had for 90 years. Because even in this day, today it's not near as important as it was then. But then, a woman that didn't have a child, any kind of a child, and especially if the husband produced children with other women, why, it was looked down upon really bad. And she saw the son of Hagar the Egyptian, which she had born unto Abraham, mocking. Now, how old is Ishmael? He was 13 when he was circumcised. So, he's probably 14, maybe 15. What 14 and 15-year-old boy doesn't mock? You got one of them? They make fun of everything. I raised kids, 5 kids, and you know what? I thought I was learning with each one. It didn't help me. Each one was a new problem all in their own. Boy or girl, doesn't make any difference. They're going to throw you curves. You don't get the privilege of being, I'm an experienced parent now. I've trained four, got good 4 good kids. Yeah, number 5 will throw a monkey wrench into your whole plan. Really will. Here's Ishmael. He's 14, 15 years old, depending on how long it took to wean Isaac. I'm supposing a couple of years. So they're throwing a big party, and it's a big deal for this little kid 2 years old. You see him running around here. And he starts making fun. That's just so normal. Do you know that's normal? Your kids don't make fun of each other. You don't have normal kids. You go teach them in school for a while. See what they'll do. I had a very nice girl, sweet girl, made great grades. She one day came up in class of eighth graders, and she wanted you to go to the pass to go to the restroom. So I gave her the pass to go to the restroom and some boys. You know. She said, it's natural. No big deal. It's natural. But they do this thing. They make fun of each other all the time. Now think about this boy. He's been the constant companion of Abraham for 13 or 14 or 15 years. And here's this little baby taking his place. This little baby's going to be number one. That's already seen. You're not going to be number one anymore. And he's making fun. He's gigging. He's laughing. He's having fun. That's just so normal. Nothing wicked about that. Nothing mean about that. That's just boys. I sort of think of boys like I do dogs. They want to bark. They want to run at them. I got a blue heeler that just loves to run at my cow and to make it jump. When the cow will jump up like that, you know, he's just happy as could be. And that's the way boys are. They're always picking on girls to make them jump. They're always picking on them to see if they can embarrass them, get a hold of them. You know, that's how you know you're in love. So Ishmael is making fun of Isaac. But now here's mean mama. I mean, she's not the mama of Ishmael. Ishmael has been an embarrassment to her for 15 years. Isn't that right? Hagar goes into Abraham as his wife instead of just his servant. She bears a son. He's an all-around red-blooded boy. I mean, this kid's got a lot on the ball. Abraham's as proud of him as he can be. And it's Abraham's son. You think about that. Now, Isaac is Sarah's son. And Abraham's son. But she does not like Ishmael. Ishmael's been an embarrassment to her for all of his life. Yes, she claimed him as her son because she couldn't have any. But now that she's got one, there's no way he's going to reign with my son. No way he's going to have a part. Do you have any of that jealousy in you? You do. It sticks out of your ears. I can just see it dripping down your face. We're so proud of our kids. We're proud of our kids. Even, man, I taught school for 20 years. Even when your kid is the biggest jerk in the class, you think he's the best one there. And you come up defending him to some teacher who has to put up with him every day for 185 days a year. You don't think we see mama's love and daddy's care and their pride? Wow. They can't help but defend their own. And you're that way. You're that way too. So here he is, and Sarah sees him mocking. And all of a sudden, boy, it popped like that. Get that kid away from here. He's not going to reign with my son. Abraham, kick him out. You know what? A lack of faith 15 years before brought on this hurt. A lack of faith 15 years before brought this hurt to Abraham. Because it's Abraham's son. Abraham loves him as much as he loves anybody. He was as proud of him as he could possibly be. He went with him all the time. I have no doubt he was He was a companion to him in many, many days, many ways. But Sarah couldn't see that. She didn't care. She didn't care that she had done wrong 15 years before to give her servant to him to be a wife. She didn't care about anything now except that mocking boy cannot reign with my son. Now, who's going to really hurt in this? Well, Ishmael's going to get hurt. Hagar's going to get hurt. But Abraham's going to get hurt worse. He's hurt because that's his son. That's his son that he loves. That's his son that he is proud of. That's his son he spent days teaching. You know, I'll bring it up again next week, Lord willing. I wonder how much of Abraham's faith got transferred to Ishmael. Have you ever thought about that? Ishmael becomes a great man. He has 12 sons that become princes. He becomes a mighty archer. He's got greatness in him. And he's blessed by God because he's Abraham's son. What did you get from your father or mother? Can you look back on anything worthwhile that you got from your father and mother? I can look on and see some great things. I see some beautiful things. I'm thankful I had the father and the mother that I had. They showed me some things. They lived in such a way that made me proud of them. And I'm not embarrassed about my mother and my dad. My dad smoked all of his life, but he didn't drink. He didn't gamble. He didn't run around. He didn't party. He loved my mother. He loved us kids. He worked for us all his years. And he was wise. When he quit spanking me, I wish he'd have kept on. Because now he was going to talk to me for 30 minutes and tell me how dumb I am. He never said how dumb I was. He just showed what was smart. And I didn't go the smart way. Yeah. Daddy can sit there and say, well now, son, have you thought this through? He said, how much money did you spend on that? What do you got left? Have you got anything left? Was it worth it? Those are terrible questions to ask a teenage kid. They're just absolutely terrible, man. You talk about really making you feel like a fool? That will do it. Well, I don't have anything left. Did you have a big time? Yeah, I had a big time. What do you got left? Nothing. It's but just the fun. Well, the fun's gone. Isn't it? Have you been there? You read that chapter, haven't you? Yeah, I thought many a day after he quit spanking me, I thought I'd rather take a spanking than a 30-minute talk from this guy who is so much smarter than I am. But hey, he told me, he said, son, don't ever quit talking to them. When my kids were growing up and you're having all sorts of frustrations and raising kids and hoping they don't turn out bad, hoping they turn out good. He said, don't ever quit talking to them. Just keep on talking to them. Eddie came back from Germany and he was working, trying to put himself through college. And he did. He worked and put himself through college. He didn't get a GI Bill. But at any rate, he was out at a night job, and I'm an insomniac. I get up at any time of the day or night. And so I got up in the night, and I thought, oh, I'm going to go catch Eddie. Talk to him for a while. So I did. I went to a place where he was working. And he said, you know, Daddy, you haven't given me any advice in 6 months. I said, that's right, son. He said, thank you. See you next week.